Thank you for the hospitality and the wonderful lunch and your fellowship, and remembering how times to take the prayer request that we could glean from the sermon, as I said this morning. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 3, I want to look at an illustration of some of the things that we were looking at, and then we'll make application from the text this morning. John 3, and I know this is a difficult service, unless maybe some of you don't think so. Pastor L. Huber was down at Sycamore, and he said that. He says, I know this is a difficult service, so he preached, I think, a 15-minute sermon from Isaiah 53, and we wanted more, but he knew that the attention span isn't so great after your stomachs are full. So very wise in what he did. John chapter 3, let's start at verse 25. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Here John the Baptist becomes a perfect illustration of some of the things that we were talking about today. In fact, this is where that quote that I ended this morning's message comes from Calvin, when he says, Christ does not call his ministers to the teaching office that they may subdue the church and dominate it, but that he may make use of their faithful labors to unite it to himself. And here we see John the Baptist doing that very thing. He is sending his disciples, men whom he had taught, and he had been faithful in teaching the Word of God and preaching about the kingdom of God, and now he's pointing him to the value and the superiority and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, he is the bridegroom. I'm the friend of the bridegroom, and I'm happy and satisfied to be so. In fact, he says in the verse that we read that a man can receive nothing except God has given it to him from heaven. He understood that the position that he had, the gifts that he had, the calling that he had, the office and purpose for which he was sent was given to him from heaven. And he was content with what God had given him. He was content with the purpose for which God had granted him to the church. And he's pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the great desire of his heart and the fulfillment of his mission all had to do with this wonderful statement that he makes in verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Every preacher, let's start with preachers, must have that heart. As Calvin says, they're not given to the church to dominate the church and to subdue the church. I've known pastors that's what they think their calling is, as though they have reached some degree of sanctification that thou, now they could look down their noses at people and belittle them and beat them over the head with the scriptures. But that's not why God has given them. we're all on an equal plane, as Calvin says, men of dust, and just like all of us. Sometimes those men, as Calvin says, are inferiors, meaning perhaps they had less education than we had. Perhaps they have less of an office or a station in life than what we had. Maybe they're not as wealthy as what we are, and yet God uses them in His church to build up and edify His church and His people. We must all, not only pastors, but all have this kind of heart. He must increase. I must decrease. Whatever we do, whatever gift He has given us, our text this morning tells us that that gift came from Christ, and the measure of it came from Christ. I've told several of you, you know, your pastors, they were thankful that I came. I know why they're thankful that I came, because I make them look good. when I leave, you're just, thank you, Lord, for our pastors. And actually, I mean that, because I've heard your pastors. I've heard Dabney preach. I still remember the one sermon that he preached at Sycamore. I remember that. And I understand God's hand upon the men that He has given to you. I could say, well, I wish I could preach like that. I could listen to Al and say, I wish I could preach like that. But Christ hasn't given me that measure. He hasn't measured that out. He's made me who I am, and I'm okay with that. And I need to be okay with that. And each of you need to take what Christ has given you and be okay with that. And see, this is His sovereign wisdom and power and authority in the church so that we're okay with what He has done, which is, in fact, quite amazing. That we're even here, right? We're here by His grace. And to labor with that kind of humility. So, branching off of this and going back to our text, I just want to mention a couple of things that we should pray for. In Ephesians chapter 4, at the end of that text that we looked at today, humility. Verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Humility. This is what God has done. And we need to be content with that. We need to improve upon it, as the Puritan said. We take what God has given us and we improve upon it. We don't take the talent that Christ has given us and bury it in the ground. No, we invest it. If we're called to preach, let's try to become a better preacher. If we're called to be a housewife, let's be a good housewife for the kingdom of God. If we're called to be whatever you're called to be, do all to the glory of God. Take up whatever your hands find to do and do it with all of your might. Because that's what the Lord uses in his church. Activity, verse 16. The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint supplies to the church, takes the gift that Christ has given them and uses it for the glory of God and for the building up, the edifying of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, His church. To be active, to be looking for ways to serve one another in the church. Takes humility, takes activity, takes theology. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. We need to know our theology. We need to be taught. We need to, if we're straining at things, you know, there was a time where Brett and Pastor Chuck, Rennie, were teaching on the decrees of God, and I was so excited when Pastor Rennie came, because I thought that was our weak point at Sycamore. We need to understand, not the decrees of God, the covenants. And I said, this is our weak point. We need to be taught. So when we came into our 1689 confession and they started teaching on the covenants, and you know, there's what, three paragraphs in our 1689? And I don't know, after half a year of being in there, I was sitting down there with getting a headache, and everybody else is getting a headache, and people were turning around and talking to me, and they're going, I've got a headache. I sat down with them. I said, I think you've gone deep enough for now. Maybe something a little more shallow for a little while. But we need to hear it. Maybe we come back to it and we'll get a little more, you know, and understand a little more and grow in our knowledge, not to be afraid of theology, but to understand that this is what the Lord Jesus would have. He would have us understand the truth and believe the scriptures and be able to speak about it, and to do so according to verse 15, which brings the other thing, charity, to speak the truth in love. So humility, activity, theology, charity. Charity toward one another, to love one another. Which again, as we pointed out this morning, what an amazing thing that God would take men and women who absolutely are in love with themselves. And they're raised in a society that says, oh, you need to learn to love yourself so you can then love other people. And the Word of God comes and says, I didn't tell you to learn to love yourself. I told you to love your neighbor as you already do love yourself. And that's way up here. Because we really love ourselves. We really do. And so he gives us that great big goal in mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. We love one another. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Interesting. Verse 16, the edifying of itself in love. Notice that we're fulfilling the law of God there. To love our neighbor as ourselves. To love God. To love each other in the church. To love your pastor. Why do you love your pastor? Well, because in the words of Calvin, by God's grace, he's uniting you to Christ. And he's bringing you to Christ. So we have many things to pray about then when we take the Word of God and we come to prayer, that we ask God, give us humility. Again, my mentor, Gordon, he said, the question isn't, what gift do I have? The command of the Scripture is use it. Just do what you do. Be who you are. Realize who God has created you and how he has created you anew in Christ Jesus, and do it. And that's, you know, how we recognize, well, this man has the gift of teaching. This man is, he's a deacon. He's already serving like a deacon. And so you just, all that remains is looking for his qualifications, right? To see if you can raise him up to be a deacon. Do what Christ has given you to do for the glory of God. For the edifying, the strengthening, the maturing of the body of Christ. This is what we need to pray for, that the Lord would help us, to strengthen us, that he would humble us, that he would help us to be content with what he has given us in the church, what he's given us to do, that we might all labor together for the glory of Christ in the church, that we would learn our theology, that we would understand the doctrine, that God has revealed to us in his word. May the Lord help us, and may he grant us the spirit of prayer even as we go together to his throne.